Good morning, and welcome to the Prescott Daily Courier. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, from the Sunsound Studios in Flagstaff. Today, I'll be reading articles dated April 16th, 2025. Here are your headlines. Jenkins chosen District 2 County Supervisor. Moore becomes Camp Verde mayor. Holmes fraud trial continues with day two. CCJ exec testifies. And Chino Valley Unified adopts Habitudes leadership curriculum for high school next year. And here are your details. Jenkins chosen District 2 County Supervisor, Moore becomes Camp Verde Mayor, by Vito Sarinsocks. Cottonwood. Now former Mayor Camp Verde D. Jenkins was appointed as the new District 2 Supervisor by the Yavapai County Board of Supervisors, and she promptly resigned from her town position. That made Vice Mayor Marie Moore the new mayor of Camp Verde. At the supervisors' meeting in Cottonwood on Wednesday, April the 16th, Jenkins shook hands with former supervisor Thomas Thurman and other candidates who congratulated her and were seated in the front row when the decision was announced. Wiley J. Klein, John Hughes, and Anthony Tony James Utz also submitted letters of interest for the vacant position. After the announcement, Jenkins was hugged by Camp Verde town officials who attended the morning meeting before she signed her Camp Verde resignation letter and sent it off to the Secretary of State's office so she could be sworn in as District 2 supervisor. The town of Camp Verde announced it immediately after the supervisors' meeting. Our vice mayor takes the position of the mayor. There's no selection process. Now the town council will go through an appointment process to fill the vacant seat on the Camp Verde Town Council. Moore will remain mayor until her term runs out in 2026. The council will have to select a new vice mayor, she added. The five candidates filed applications to replace James Gregory, who resigned as District 2 supervisor in January to take a job as the Williams chief of police. He was re-elected last year and had just been named chairman when he resigned. Supervisors made their decision after interviewing the candidates Wednesday and then meeting in executive session. Supervisor Nikki Check said she's seen the candidates' faces at their meetings and knows that they have paid attention to this position and the implications of it. They were five candidates that I would be honored to work with, she said. Supervisor Chris Cucnayo reminded the candidates who didn't get the position on Wednesday that the new campaign season for supervisors starts in 7 months. Thanks for putting yourselves out there. Kind of got thrown a curveball on how this whole thing went down, Cucnayo said. He said the supervisors really wanted the people to decide who their leaders would be, but they had to pick someone to fill the gap. The Camp Verde Town Council will discuss the next steps regarding its council vacancy and the selection of a new vice mayor at an upcoming meeting. Holmes fraud trial continues with day two. CCJ exec testifies, by Deborah Winters. Wednesday, April 16th, was day two of trial for Sheena Holmes, who is accused of multiple counts of fraud schemes and theft against a business and a nonprofit, with Judge Krista M. Carman presiding. Holmes was arrested on several counts pursuant to two separate but concurrent investigations, alleging that she embezzled approximately $33,000 from Yavapai Block Company Incorporated between November 2021 and March 2022, and $111,000 from the Coalition for Compassion and Justice, or CCJ, between April of 2022 and May of 2023, according to the Prescott Police Department. CCJ is a 501c3 organization serving the Quad Cities that has been helping the homeless and anyone living in poverty since 2001. They have five programs, including affordable housing, shelter, emergency barrier shelter, home repair program, and advocacy department, as well as a thrift store. They are based out of Prescott. Taking the stand first Wednesday on behalf of CCJ was Allison Lenacher, executive director, Glenn Assay, deputy county attorney with the Yavapai County Attorney's Office, addressed Lenacher as a jury made up of five men and five women looked on. As a nonprofit, CCJ takes all the money that comes in and it goes right back into their programs. They are primarily funded by grants, foundational giving, and private donors. They also have to pay employees, Lenacher said. They also own and operate affordable housing units from which they get monthly rent from tenants, in addition to the shelter where clients pay $3 per night, she added. CCJ also has a board of directors, which is involved with supporting the executive director, and they also volunteer, meet monthly for meetings where they go over things such as financials and staff reports, among other things. The board is really the backbone. We rely heavily on the board for marketing reasons, their expertise, whether it be reality to architecture, those sorts of things, Lenacher said. Holmes worked for the CCJ from April 2022 through May 2023 as finance director. She handled accounts receivable, reconciliation, made deposits at the bank, and tended to some human resource duties, such as a second set of eyes on payroll, onboarding, things of that nature, Lenacher said. So, any money that came in, she would be getting that where it needs to go? Assay question. Lenacher replied, it went through Sheena, yes. It wasn't until CCJ received a call from Prescott Police alerting them about an investigation they were conducting that they decided to do a forensic audit, at which time they had already terminated Holmes' employment. The police confirmed her employment with me, at which time I went to our board. I just wasn't very comfortable having someone with an open investigation of any sort being in that position. That made me uncomfortable, so I decided to terminate Ms. Holmes, Lenacher said. At this point, Lenacher contacted an HR employment lawyer. However, she was not aware if any funds were missing at CCJ at this point. I felt that I needed to protect CCJ. I needed to do what was in the best interest of CCJ, Lenacher said. A separation agreement was then drafted by CCJ for Holmes, who also received a severance package. Defense counsel Kenneth Countryman questioned Lenacher regarding being contacted by the PPD. When asked if she was questioned by the police about any money having gone missing at CCJ since hiring Holmes, Lenacher replied that she did not remember the specifics of that conversation. He went on to ask Lenacher if she remembers being asked by the officer if any money had gone missing at CCJ. Her response was no. She didn't think any money was missing from CCJ, to which Lenacher stated that she did not recall specifics of that conversation or if Holmes had access to any of CCJ's accounts. The final day of testimony is slated for Thursday, April the 17th. Deliberation by the jury is expected to take place on Friday, April the 18th. Chino Valley Unified adopts Habitudes Leadership Curriculum for high school next year by Nancy Hudson. Chino Valley Unified School District Curriculum Director Julie Bryce raved last week to the governing board about a new high school leadership curriculum. They agreed in a 4-0 vote on Monday, April the 14th, to approve the program after two teachers piloted it for 3 months to freshmen, sophomores, and juniors. Board Vice President Annie Mortensen was not in attendance. As a class spectator, Bryce said she was moved to tears by the power of one of the Habitudes Leadership Curriculum lessons that relies on simple pictures, cartoons, messages, stories, and experiences to inspire teens so they think and converse about the meaning as it pertains to evolving into youth leaders and responsible citizens. To see kids interact and take part in the lessons is amazing, Bryce declared. She is not alone in her evaluation of this program, introduced to the school by Assistant Principal William Richardson, who learned of the program while working at a high school in Kennesaw, Georgia. Chino Valley Bloomtree Realty agent Heather Worley is so impressed with the program that she opted to write a check for $8,000 to cover the costs for the next 4 years. Beyond witnessing pilot lessons, Worley and some of her local business associates have served as co-teachers on some of them. For the coming year, Worley and Richardson have enlisted some 40 fellow associates and Chino Valley business leaders to assist with what will be monthly lessons that will reach all 750 or so students in the school. Why? It's amazing, Worley said, of the Habitudes programs. It's teaching kids how to be leaders and how to take charge in any situation to create and forge their own path. From her experience as a self-employed businesswoman and the mother of a now 27-year-old son, Worley said she recognized from the lesson themes how important it is for students to absorb these messages when they are not yet in the working, seeking to climb over the many obstacles they will encounter, no matter where they go or what they choose to do. They shouldn't have to stumble through life and figure it out on their own, Worley said. She said she is excited to be able to offer them the chance to be taught these lessons from business leaders who have very likely been forced to tackle some of the challenges presented through this program. You are listening to the Prescott Daily Courier from the Flagstaff studios of Sun Sounds of Arizona. Sun Sounds' programming is directed to those who cannot use print material due to a disability. Listen to our live streams and learn how you can support us at the website sunsounds.org. You can also hear Sun Sounds on your Echo Dot or smart home device. Where to Find the Easter Bunny in the Quad Cities by Jesse Bertel. Families across the Quad Cities will have plenty of opportunities to celebrate Easter with egg hunts, festive games, and appearances by the Easter Bunny. From free community events to zoo-wide scavenger hunts, local venues are offering springtime activities for all ages on April 19th to 20th. Heritage Park Zoo Easter Extravaganza. Hop to the Heritage Park Zoological Sanctuary at 1403 Heritage Park Road, Prescott, for the annual Easter Extravaganza from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Easter Sunday, April 20th. The event features special Easter treats for the animals, fun photo opportunities, and prizes for children who complete the zoo-wide egg hunt. Candy bags will be available while supplies last, and light concessions will be offered for purchase. All activities are included with paid zoo admission, $16 for adults, $15 for seniors, military members, and students with ID, and $12 for children ages 3 to 12. Children younger than 3 and zoo members are admitted free. The sanctuary is open daily from 10 to 4 p.m. through April 30th, with summer hours beginning on May the 1st. More information is available at www.heritageparkzoo.org or by calling 928-778-4242. The Hunt, Chino Valley Easter Egg Hunt. In Chino Valley, the Word of Life Assembly of God is hosting its annual Easter Egg Hunt at 10 a.m. on Saturday, April the 19th at the Chino Valley Community Center, located at 1527 North Road 1 East. The free family event includes 5 separate egg hunts organized by age group, as well as egg decorating, face painting, games, concessions, and a photo booth featuring the Easter Bunny. The first egg hunt begins promptly at the playground starting at 10:15 a.m. for toddlers aged 1 to 2, followed by hunts on the field for 3 to 4-year-olds at 10:40, 5 to 8-year-olds at 11 o'clock, and a special needs group at 11:25 and 9 to 12-year-olds at 11:40. Free Easter egg hunt at 180 Event Center. Prescott Valley's 180 Degree Event Center, 6050 East Highway 69, will host a free community Easter celebration from noon until 3 on Saturday, April the 19th, with doors opening at 11:30. The afternoon will include an all-ages egg hunt, face painting, a puppet show, and pictures with the Easter Bunny. Attendees can also enjoy tacos and other treats from the Spicy Streets Mexican food truck. The event is presented by 180 Degree Events and offers free on-site parking. For more information, contact the event organizer, Brian, at 928-533-6185. Family Fun Day and Easter Bazaar at the Center on Rosser. The Center on Rosser will host its Easter Bazaar and Family Fun Day at 1280 East Rosser Street, Suite B from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, April the 19th. This free event will include Easter egg hunts, family-friendly activities, games, face painting, food vendors, and a chance to take photos with the Easter Bunny. Visitors can also browse local arts and craft booths throughout the day. You're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff, bringing you the Prescott Daily Courier. And next we'll turn to the features page of the Courier, starting with To Your Good Health by Dr. Keith Roach. Dear Dr. Roach, my 86-year-old mother wears hearing aids, has tinnitus, and is constantly dizzy. She also has atrial fibrillation, high blood pressure, and some anxiety issues. She has had several urinary tract infections in the past few years. We have been to a neurologist, ENT specialist, physical therapist, and a chiropractor, and have had tests upon tests to determine the cause of her dizziness. The best that we have been told is that it is probably a form of vertigo. Unfortunately, it is not the crystals in her head that need rearranging. She is most dizzy in the mornings. She is currently taking amiodarone, nifedipine, methenamine, levothyroxine, metoprolol, Eliquis, a generic calm pill, and cranberry supplement, buspirone, sertraline, cyclobenzaprine, and cefalexin. Most of these medications have dizziness as a side effect. Is it possible that her medications are the cause of her dizziness? We would love to take her off of everything and restart them one by one to see if we can determine the cause, but her doctors are not particularly receptive to do this. Do we have any hope in helping her? Answer. Hearing loss, tinnitus, and dizziness are suggestive of Meniere's disease, which can look just like regular episodes of vertigo. On hearing testing, the hearing loss looks different from common hearing loss of aging. Her ENT doctor should have noticed that if she had formal hearing testing done, which she should have since she has hearing aids. Many people, like your mother, are also treated with medication, such as meclizine, antivert, and dramamine, among others, which are effective short-term, but taken long-term, can keep the brain from ever adapting, meaning the vertigo will last forever. I avoid prescribing these drugs and will use it in severe cases only for a few days at most. Of the list of drugs that you have, many can cause dizziness, which can also mean lightheadedness or being off balance. True vertigo, when there is a sense of motion when the person isn't moving, can be caused by at least one of the drugs on that list, and that is sertraline. However, you say a generic calm pill, and if that is a benzodiazepine like diazepam, which is Valium, or clonazepam, which is Klonopin, These may also cause vertigo. I think it is entirely possible one or more of her medications could be causing or at least worsening her symptoms. While some medicines shouldn't be stopped lightly, the amiodarone, for example, can rarely cause vertigo, but only her cardiologist should change that. It might indeed be worthwhile trying to remove the most likely drugs to cause vertigo. Cyclobenzaprine is not a good drug for long-term use in anyone, especially a person in their 80s. Geriatricians probably have more experience in getting rid of prescriptions than most other physicians, and a geriatric consult would be worthwhile. Finally, there is a resource that you haven't mentioned, but one I find invaluable in cases of vertigo that doesn't go away, and that is vestibular rehabilitation. This is performed by a specially trained occupational and physical therapists. I consider it a precious resource and refer only patients who really need it. Even where I practice, which is very well supplied with health professionals, there are not enough spots in vestibular rehab for every patient with dizziness. You have been listening to the Prescott Daily Courier, coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona in Flagstaff. This is your volunteer programmer, Babs Felix, thanking you so much for listening today, and I hope that you have a wonderful Easter holiday weekend. And now, stay tuned for more interesting programming coming to you from Sun Sounds of Arizona.